We are wrapping up our Labs Decoded webinar this week. So hopefully you guys were able to join us. If you weren't, hopefully you registered because there were replays. And of course, we know that people weren't going to be able to join live all 5 days at 12 Central, different time zones. We serve and work with women in all around the world, right? Many different countries. So hopefully you did. If not, link should still be in the show notes. Snag it today so that you can go back and watch that. Understand what your labs mean. And then if you need to run your labs and go through that with us, you can always do that as a standalone offer in our practice. The same that you can do genetics standalone offer in our practice, which is going to be a big part of today's conversation as we deep dive into dopamine, the neurotransmitter that you need to feel your hormones, to have good immunity, to feel good mood regulation, and just feel vibrant, to be honest. So this is going to be so fun. If you like this episode, don't forget to rate, review, subscribe to the show. And if you have not done so, leave us that 5-star rating and review. We are going to start picking monthly winners for gift boxes from us. So if you, you know, it's been a while, you haven't rated us, you don't know how to do it. Honestly, you just go to your Apple podcast app, scroll down. It's got stars and you can just click all 5, of course, hopefully. And then if you want to write a nice comment there or something, that would be great. And we'll go through and pick a winner and reach out to you and ship you a box of goodies with some of our favorite products from different sponsors that we have.
Yes. So. Yes, we are very excited about today's podcast because I think it has become more and more apparent in some complex cases how much dopamine and the nervous system play a role in limiting people from being better. And how it can make so many symptoms that appear to be very system specific actually be a bigger picture at play. So we're going to dive in. What is dopamine? What essentially will it impact that you would think it might not impact? And then, you know, how our modern day life is kind of making a large, negative impact on it and what you can potentially do about it. So, dopamine, everyone knows, is the feel-good chemical. And it's a salience. I don't know why. I looked at that and I just wanted to say silence. It's a salience, motivation, learning, pain modulation signal that influences how the brain filters threat and safety, effort versus reward. And that cascades down into pain sensitivity for people, recovery capacity, gut function is a huge piece. Because dopaminergic pathways are part of descending pain control circuits, not just like opioids, serotonin, norepinephrine, neurotransmitters. When you have dopamine issues, a lot of times it feels like nothing's rewarding, or I'm doing all the right things, but like I can't truly start feeling that excitement. My pain is louder. My gut is more sensitive. My progress is stalled because dopamine is more of like a go signal for adaptation. If the nervous system cannot tag effort as worth it, people cannot comply long enough to heal, or their body doesn't allow them to. Like if your nervous system is so dysregulated and your dopamine tone is so off, good luck trying to get anywhere in a gut protocol or get anywhere in terms of body composition change or any of these things, because dopamine will get in the way of it and the inability of the body to experience it in the proper way. And so dopamine is less about pleasure and more about drive, pursuit, learning, and prediction error. Basically, your brain updating what matters. And there's essentially two big dopamine problems. One is low tone, and that will be a flat drive, fatigue, low initiative. You're just like exhausted all the time.
All right. If you're dealing with water retention, you're waking up puffy, your ankles or your wrists are really swollen, or you can't get your rings off, and maybe you're even dragging throughout the day, no matter how much water you drink, there's actually a good chance that you're not actually hydrating properly.
Exactly. Because water alone is not enough. You need electrolytes. You need sodium, potassium, magnesium, because those things actually pull water into your cells. Otherwise, you're basically just flushing it out and wondering why you're still tired, you're still bloated, and you're still sluggish.
But here's the thing, most electrolyte supplements out there aren't helping you in any way because a lot of them contain things like natural flavors, food dyes, and maltodextrin, which can irritate your gut. And these things can also spike your blood sugar when you're trying to heal.
That's why we both started using Bui. It's super simple, just trace minerals and electrolytes in liquid form. No flavors, no colors, no sugar, no sweeteners, and you squeeze it into whatever you are drinking, water, coffee, tea, smoothies, you name it.
And it's clinically backed by science too. So studies have shown that Bui helps you hydrate better, 64% better, in fact. And that's data coming from key blood and urinary markers, not just marketing fluff. And honestly, you can feel the difference. I've had many clients tell me their digestion's improved, they have less headaches, and they're better energy throughout the day.
And Bui isn't just for people that go to the gym all the time and sweat a bunch. They actually offer a 35% lifetime discount for anyone that's struggling with chronic illnesses. Things like POTS, Hashimoto's, Crohn's disease, chronic migraines, and every autoimmune condition. They're really committed to making better hydration accessible to people who need it most.
I actually throw it in my coffee every morning because it's such an easy upgrade. You don't even taste it, but you're definitely going to notice if you miss it.
If you're tired of playing hydration roulette and want something that actually supports your body, you've got to try Bui. It's honestly one of the simplest ways to feel better faster. The other one is dopamine resistance and blunting. This is what we know as anhedonia, which is essentially nothing hits because reward circuitry has been overstimulated or overstressed. This is the go, go, go person, the type A person, the person that nothing is enough for them. And they have created that to an extent. Our world has created that. And the low dopamine, too, the same thing, like chronic stress on the system, chronic physical stress will cause that as well. So let's dive into what it can impact and kind of the symptoms that we tend to see with issues.
Yeah. So first is pain. So again, we're thinking beyond just pleasure. We have several cases that I'm thinking of. I was just looking at a genetics test actually for one of my clients, and it's like, okay, we may want to consider amantadine for her just from the chronic pain aspect. So pain is not only tissue damage, it is also brain interpretation, how the body perceives things, and then the body's ability to handle that pain, be resilient to it, modulate, right? So we have descending monoamine pathways that help us dial up or down that pain, you know, feeling essentially, and dopamine is part of that modulation. When dopamine signaling is impaired, some people experience lower pain thresholds or more stuck pain loops and less resilience. Another big thing in terms of what I mentioned before, as far as amantadine is actually a prescription that can be used strategically in cases where there is a lot of perceived pain. This can also be used in Parkinson's. There's a lot of good research around that. But when we look at different genetic blocks, GAD1 specifically, and when we're looking at the full neurotransmitter page on our Pro7 genetics port that we like with the COMT, MAOA, MAOB, these GAD1 genes, this tells us a lot about dopamine detoxification, right? Are you clearing it too fast or is it building up in the body? And when we look at the GAD genes, GABA and glutamate balance there is a prescription, amantadine, that can be very helpful. So this would be supportive in terms of increasing and stabilizing dopamine signaling in the brain. Again, why it could work for Parkinson's and a lot of research around that. It can calm the nervous system. So by improving that dopaminergic signaling and reducing excessive glutamate activity, amantadine can help quiet an overactive nervous system. So again, we think somebody who is stuck, fight, flight, or freeze. So we have less here mental looping, less urgency or internal restlessness, because sometimes people, when they're, at least the cases that we deal with, going through their health journey, they almost have like these obsessive behaviors, this obsessive thought pattern that happens because your brain is looking for a way to heal, right? It knows something is off and it's trying to bring you back to homeostasis. So what is that thing? But then people become obsessive, you know, obsessed and like have these behaviors that are kind of erratic. They don't stick with things long enough to be able to heal through the process. This could be a very big support for them. It also can help with sleep indirectly and supporting that ability to wind down at night. We talk about this in other podcasts regarding that GABA glutamate activity, right? So we think about GABA being your calm white noise machine, as I say, or it could be your brake pedal. And then you have glutamate, which is like your gas pedal. You want that during the day when you're trying to be focused and alert and working. But when you have too high of glutamate, that leaves you with this anxious restlessness, I can't fall asleep feeling. And so that's why for a lot of people, GABA can help, or doing other things, you know, to help with detoxification of your neurotransmitters can help that as well. Again, amantadine can reduce neuroinflammation. We'll talk about this. Obviously, we know with pain is a lot to do with inflammatory signaling in the brain, including things like IL-6, which we also see on genetics, can support our immune system with immune dysregulation. A lot of blocked inflammatory genes, the body can start to over-respond. We've become overreactive. We call this in the research, immune-mediated disease, or OID, overactive immune disease. And this is not a you issue, it's genetics. And then it's also looking at the environment and how that's influenced your genetics. This can be really helpful when you are somebody who tends to stay on that high on side of inflammation and you're easy to inflame, hard to deflame. It can also help with mental clarity, motivation, all of those things. So I think amantadine has a lot of really good research around it. There is some that just came out about COVID and the impact on dopamine. And actually, I think it's about 5% of the tissue in the brain that's been impacted negatively, where amantadine can come in and help with, you know, that pathway and signaling properly again. So that would be for the person, like we mentioned, who never feels like anything excites them anymore. They're just like numb to the world. Nothing brings them joy. And they even say, some of my clients, I feel like a shell of myself. Who am I anymore? I don't feel like anything excites me. I used to love doing X, Y, or Z, and now I could care less. So that, if that's you, that could be an option for you. Of course, obviously working with a provider to prescribe that. Generally, you're going to start at about 50 milligrams and then go up anywhere between 100 and 200 milligrams a day, just depending upon, you know, what you need and obviously what the overall case profile is.
Yeah, there's a lot of great tools, and we'll definitely dive into some more of them too. So a big piece of why dopamine affects immune system function so much is because immune cells express dopamine receptors. So it can modulate inflammatory signaling. And the relationship is a little complex, but essentially immune cells have dopamine receptors, which means dopamine can directly influence how aggressive the immune system responds. So depending on the receptor type and context, dopamine can either amplify or calm inflammatory signaling. So it helps regulate whether the body stays in high inflammation state or kind of shifts toward resolution and healing. So if inflammation is stuck on, dopamine tone may be a lever that affects immune behavior and recovery capacity. And then we get to digestion, and this is a big one. So the gut has its own nervous system. It's called the enteric nervous system. And dopamine receptors are a big part of it. So when dopamine binds to what's called D2 receptors in the gut, it tends to slow things down by inhibiting acetylcholine release, which can reduce intestinal contractions and decrease motility. This is why hyperdopaminergic signaling through D2 pathways is associated with slower transit, constipation, or feeling kind of stuck digestion. And at the same time, dopamine also influences gastric secretion, stomach emptying, and coordination between the stomach and the intestines. So different receptor subtypes, D1-like versus D2-type, can have different effects, opposite effects actually, which is why its role is described as nuanced rather than purely stimulating or inhibiting. It acts as more of a regulator of gut tone than like an on or off switch. So when someone is under chronic stress and stuck in sympathetic, reward signaling often becomes dysregulated, and that combination can show up as poor appetite, erratic hunger signals, nausea or early satiety, constipation or alternating bowel patterns, IBS type symptoms. So it's not just like a gut problem or a dopamine problem. It's more of a nervous system pattern where stress blunts reward signaling, which shifts the autonomic balance and changes how the gut moves and responds. And that's why people with this burnout or chronic stress often have digestive symptoms that don't fully resolve until the nervous system and dopaminergic tone are addressed. And yes, I think a big piece of that is addressing this physical and physiological piece, but I think a big piece of it is addressing the actual nervous system piece and the mind. And are you able to calm yourself down?
I think so many people, because we're addicted to dopamine and that go, 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 I want to feel like I checked, you know, my boxes, I got everything on my to-do list, I went above and beyond. We just have that. That's our fast-paced society today, right? That we live in. And again, if you're a type A personality like us, like, it's like a high that you get because you've accomplished everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me, that never ends, I would say. I always feel like if I'm not working on something, like then it's like useless time. Same thing that I've talked about before in terms of like how I feel when I meditate. I feel like it's a waste of time, but I know that it's actually very helpful. Now, I will say if you can get yourself calm. So let's say you go on vacation, it's very relaxed, or you have time off of the holidays, or you just take a day and you're doing a social media detox and you're just like, or a phone detox, right? A technology detox. Maybe you just want to lay on the couch and watch movies, but you feel the complete difference versus always having your phone, always having a message, whether it's, you know, an alert from social media, a text message, an email or whatever. We get stuck in these loops. And think about this. We know in the research, scrolling, like Vince said this perfectly, if smoking from a nicotine perspective was really that addictive. Scroll, and if you put nicotine on the phone, like scrolling would be, and it is. And mm-hmm. they know that that is the most addictive thing. And so people sit there for hours. They waste so much time. Also, what's addictive is gambling, alcohol, marijuana, right? Drugs, but you get desensitized to like a low dose. So then you need more. Okay. I need more to sleep. I need more to feel good. I need more to quote relax. And for some people, obviously they've lost their lives to gambling because they risk everything, but it's just that high that they get. And so that's just something that we talk about in terms of like a dopamine detox and kind of resensitizing your body the same way that we would look at like hyperpalatable food, snacking. Obviously the food industry knows very well, salt, fat, acid, heat. I think that book describes it so well in terms of like the carbohydrates, the fats, the sugars that you get, but then you add some of those other flavors in there and how addictive they can become. Like if you think about Pringles, for example, once you pop, you can't stop. Like it's literally their slogan. You're eating empty calories. Your brain doesn't recognize that you've had 350 calories of Pringles because literally nothing in it, right? There's no nutritional value.
It feels like air when you're eating it.
Exactly. Yes. Right. So then we think about substances, like I mentioned before, short-term hit, like, ooh, you feel it. And then combine that with the person who is really sensitive to alcohol. Okay. Maybe they don't have an issue with it because, you know, they can't tolerate more than two, but somebody who doesn't have it, they're drinking more and more and more. And you would look at it and say, how could that person drink so much and function? But to them, it's because they don't even feel it until they're at a certain threshold, like half a bottle of whiskey or something.
We were out last Saturday night for the Bears game and we're doing the flush or the cleanse, detox, whatever. And so I DD'd and I was like, you can have a drink or whatever. I'll drive. And so I didn't drink. The guys brought out Macallan, I think it is. Macallan, it's like a really
expensive
whiskey. And I think three of them went through a whole bottle. And I was like, I would be drooling on myself on a bathroom floor right now. Like, how are you all speaking and functioning? It is just, it's so different in terms of tolerance level. And all three of the guys, like, totally fine. Still totally normal.
Probably didn't have any issues with sleep. Probably woke up the next day just fine. Yeah, I know.
And it's, again, just, I had to share that because I was like, I can't believe that. And I think the girls, so nice, loved both of them. But like, I'm pretty sure they went through more than two bottles of wine between the two of them. And I'm like, again, I would be so hungover before I even left this house. Like,
yeah,
so bad. So,
you know, like, for example, we've talked about this. We've joked about it on the podcast, but we're always really real and honest with you guys. Your dopamine signaling is completely different because it's Amazon, it's shopping, it's, you know, those types of things. And so just knowing yourself. And honestly, when we talk with clients, we talk about like, if you have a lot of these genetic mutations and blocks, you need to be cautious with certain substances. You're very easily addicted, addictive personality. I know that to be true for myself, right? And again, that addiction can be to checking the boxes, to getting things done because it's like a pat on the back. I did it, you know, or going to the gym. Some people get addicted. That's their high when they're running or they're doing that high intensity interval training or whatever it might be. So what are some things that we can do to support this? We've obviously talked about amantadine. That's more of a prescription there. But when we think about the foundations, I'm going to say at the top of this list, we're going to go to the detox ideas here. I was going to say at the top of this list, you have to evaluate what are your dopamine hits. So is it your phone and scrolling? Is it purchasing things? Is it gambling? Is it alcohol? Is it lottery tickets? Whatever, you know, it could be. Is it Starbucks? I'm on a Starbucks detox right now. I'm saving a lot of money. It's going great. Till we travel.
I'm doing one, maybe two times a week and that's it. And which is a lot better than what I was doing. And I haven't been doing cold foam and it's a big shift.
It's January 13th. Okay. I've not ordered from Amazon. And I haven't gone to Starbucks. We're 2 weeks in. I'm over it though. I want some chocolate. I told Becca, I was like, I'm going to Target tonight and I'm going to buy myself a nice, like a Hue dark chocolate something. But anyways, foundations, morning sunlight, consistent sleep timing, your circadian rhythm. This is so important. Our reward circuits stabilize when we have adequate sleep. Again, I can say this for the 1800th time on our podcast in the past 5 years. There's two things that you do to build your body up. You sleep, you rest, right? And you eat. You got to eat the right nutrients in order to build your body up. Otherwise, you're just building an inflamed ball of mass. So making sure that you have a good circadian rhythm, you're getting adequate sleep, stimulate your eyes in the morning. It's dark here in the morning still. Get your happy light out. 10,000 lux light. They're cheap, less than $50 on Amazon. Get outside, get sunlight into your eyeballs. Take your sunglasses off. Get your feet grounded in the grass if you can do that. Protein at breakfast. So we know tyrosine and phenylalanine are precursors to dopamine. Strength training and zone 2 cardio. So this can support dopamine function and neuroplasticity. Again, as I mentioned before, some people get that high, the, you know, endorphins are going, but it's still a dopamine hit there when you feel like you hit that PR or you lift, you know, stronger, whatever. Progress loops. So tiny goals and tracking your wins. Dopamine loves the I'm moving signals. So if you set a goal and you've got a moving target that you can get to, like the carrot, I was talking to one of our practitioners this morning, said, I love that carrot, right? Because I want her to continue growing and I want her to continue reaching for that next level. That's what dopamine really is about here too. And then novelty that's not doom scrolling. So learn a new skill, put this addictive personality into benefiting your life, right? Like another big thing I have for myself in 2026 is reading more books than ever. And then also just listening. So I'm reading a book. I finished one already. Now I'm on my second one. I've got my third that I'm doing right now, like two separate type of reading. So I like to have my reading that's more like clinical. And then I also like to have my reading that's more just like self-developmental, or if it was 50 Shades of Grey, I'd read that again. But, you know, something that's, I'm not really into like the, some people love reading about, like, I don't know, art. What do you read for the word here that I'm looking for? In
fiction.
Fiction. Thank you. Fiction or like scary things or just whatever.
I think a lot of people like smut.
Yeah, I mean, I'll read 50 Shades of Grey all day long, but I ain't reading some other weird...
Some of them are really effed up and dark. I tried to, like, kind of get into that world a little bit last year because everyone was raving about a couple of different series. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for me. I was like, this is strange. And, like, there's, like, fairylands and I don't know. I just... wasn't for me. I'm very much more about self-development, and I did like 50 Shades. I did love the Twilight series. Like, yeah. I love a classic love story. I'm a girl, but,
But develop a new skill, right? Like for me, sourdough, that was my dopamine during the holidays. Now we're on the cleanse. I can't have sourdough, sadly, for like another week, but you know what I'm saying here, yes, is that you could put that energy into something that's going to benefit you. Set a big, massive goal and then figure out a way to get there. Mm-hmm. And every time that you have a win, jot it down. This is something that I actually talked about last week, several clients and even on my stories yesterday. If you're somebody dealing with chronic illness, you have to write down the good because you're not there yet. So you constantly see the negative, right? You constantly see, well, I'm still bloated. Yeah, no shit, because you're in the luteal phase and your period's about to come. Like, did you think about that? You didn't sleep last night or whatever it might be, but you're failing to see that you're going to the bathroom more, that you're actually able to walk up and down the stairs without getting winded, that you're able to tolerate more foods. Like a lot of these things that maybe don't feel big yet are actually big because they're leading you to that moment where consistency looks like nothing until one day it does. And you say, oh my gosh, last year at this time, I couldn't have more than 4 foods. I was shitting my pants. I had acne all over my face, right? This year, even though I still have a few symptoms that I'm dealing with that I want to improve, all that's gone and my, you know, my physique is better. So you have to write these things down because if you're the person like we're talking about, it's never good enough. Enough is not enough. That's dopamine, right? Enough is not enough. 2 glasses of wine wasn't enough. The bottle eventually isn't enough. So knowing yourself, I think, is very valuable in this. And that brings us to the detox, which is hard. I think that we should do it, but it's hard.
Yeah. So remove and limit high frequency novelty, 7 to 14 days minimum. So like social needs, junk reward, like I was talking about, the Amazon purchasing, the Starbucks, the chocolate after dinner, like these hits that we search for that are immediate gratification, and replace them with effort-based rewards. So instead of just taking things out, which can feel really hard, try to replace them with things like, I'm going to go for a walk after meals and then I'm going to feel better about myself, right? I'm going to do sauna or cold plunges. I'm going to do journaling. I'm going to do creative output. A big thing for me was like more time with God. And so having the devotional has been amazing because it is a structured way to have every day, every morning, my journaling that like lets me connect and, you know, has some type of structure around it. And then I feel better afterwards. Building friction between you and the hit. So like Liz was saying, a big piece about dopamine is that it needs the grayscale. It needs the piece in between, you know, the effort and the reward. Because in most cases, people are just getting rewards. There's very little effort involved. And so we need to have the carrot. We need to have the thing that we're working towards, because it's all about the journey anyways. Like, life is about the journey. What you get is about the journey, right? I think it's a really big piece. So cold therapy is another big one. There's a classic cold water immersion study that shows plasma dopamine and norepinephrine rise with cold immersion. So still a little bit out in the jury of like the impact neurologically with dopamine levels, but it does increase blood levels of dopamine. And I think it can help kind of reset things a little bit. Nicotine is another option. We're not talking about going and buying a pack of cigarettes. We are talking about lozenges, patches, gum. It activates nicotinic receptors that increase dopaminergic firing and reinforce addiction circuitry. So some people often feel more sharp, motivated, you know, kind of needing to evaluate over time with like resensitization. Some people genetically with a lot of blocks neurotransmitter wise may benefit for longer term use of nicotine. Lots of research too around nicotine and COVID recovery, all cause mortality with nicotine users benefiting them being on nicotine. C-Max, we have done whole podcasts on C-Max. Go back and look. C-Max and Celanc are amazing. But in this case, C-Max is a neuropeptide. It is considered a nootropic and kind of neuromodulatory. So it does not dump dopamine into the brain like cold therapy, like some of these other things will. Instead, it works by making dopaminergic neurons function better and become more responsive. So think of it as improving more the quality of dopamine signaling rather than forcing a spike. So instead of more dopamine now, it's healthier dopamine circuitry over time. So animal studies show that C-Max can influence dopamine metabolism and release in regions involved in motivation, attention, reward processing. So it can normalize signaling when dopamine is either too flat or poorly regulated. It's also anti-inflammatory and an antioxidant effect in the central nervous system. So chronic neural inflammation can blunt dopamine signaling. And C-Max has been described as having kind of a neuroprotective property in these stress models. It also helps with the stress axis stabilization. It helps with HPA axis regulation without being too stimulatory. And since dopamine and cortisol systems interact tightly, it stabilizes stress signaling and it can indirectly restore dopamine function. So this matters a lot of times because people don't have a dopamine deficiency necessarily. They have a dopamine receptor issue. They have neural inflammation. They have stress-driven suppression of reward signaling. So I think it's really important to understand that like the answer isn't always more dopamine. It is, let me regulate the systems that use dopamine. So some examples to kind of take away. If you are someone that is apathetic, anhedonia, you just feel flat, like you cannot initiate any type of motivation. Prioritizing sleep, protein, strength, mini goals can be very helpful. High anxiety and overstimulation type person can't relax. Prioritize first more downshifting, breath work, routine, less novelty before chasing dopamine. Chronic pain and low resilience, you can do more of the targeting modulation support. So sleep, movement tolerance, anti-inflammatory, alongside some dopaminergic tone. Those people may need a little bit more dopamine in the system. And then IBS and constipation patterns, a lot of times are around gut-brain loops and enteric nervous system dopamine receptor roles. So I've actually seen LDN be a little bit helpful here because there is a lot of dopamine receptors in the gut, and LDN helps with resensitization of dopamine receptors. So there's a lot of options. We probably should have put LDN in here. I didn't even think of that. But it's a big piece. Like, this dopamine is a huge missing piece, I think, in a lot of healing processes.
One thing that I want to touch on that we haven't yet is the biohacking tools, because people will buy cold plunge, sauna, vibration plates, grounding mat, red light, vagal toning device. I mean, like, the list can go on and on and on here. And all those things can be helpful, yes. But if you don't have the foundations in place, and if you don't have adequate levels of dopamine and sensitivity to dopamine, probably not going to take you too far. And so that's kind of where, again, when we talk about going back to the basics, resensitizing, figuring out where you're at, right? In terms of, are you more on that high anxiety, overstimulation? Those are the people that I see that are doing like all the things. They're biohacking all the things, right? All the peptides they want all the time. And we get it. But if you don't fix this, that doesn't help much. So I just wanted to add that in there as well, because I think people are spending tons and tons of money and energy and time doing some of those things when really you need to slow down, maybe do some castor oil packs. That can be very helpful too. Sure, the breath work, but if you don't notice that that's really helping you, then you know you got a deeper issue here. And that, you know, can probably take you a lot farther once you can get this fixed and addressed. So if you like this, if you found this helpful, if this resonated with you, let us know. Rate, review, subscribe, share the show. If you share it, tag us on Instagram at the Poop Queen and the Hormone Queen.